Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who, in honor of a double boot, is doing twice the podcast this week. Psych, just kidding. Nobody wants that. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And I am very excited for a great show here today because I'm going to be catching up with one of my best friends, probably. It's really what?
Yeah.
Top two, top three?
Top two, I would say, on a bad day.
On a bad day. Here he is, the winner of Survivor Blood Water and one of the co-hosts of News AF.
Played in Heroes Villains.
Yes, I thought we don't like to talk about that.
We don't like to talk about, but if you're going to say Blood Water, I know that some of the listeners also accused me of saying Heroes Villains while mocking people who say Blood Water.
Here is the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Here I am. I'm great. I mean, since yesterday, the only thing I did pretty much was golf.
Wow.
Since between last we talked. I rode a mountain bike too.
Yeah. Okay. That's you're rested, relaxed, ready to go. I have the honor of looking at you for this podcast because we are streaming this on the newly minted RHAP Twitch channel at twitch.tv/RHAP. We're, you know, fooling around with doing more and more live streaming stuff. And I figured since we're already doing News AF here, might as well. Let's let the chat room in. Let's go crazy.
Might as well dip in, right?
Yeah, why not? So we will take some questions from the Twitch chat room along the way. We've got plenty of questions for you, Tyson. We get to talk all the time, but we rarely talk about Survivor.
No, we almost never talk about Survivor anymore because we're too good of friends to just base it on superficialities.
The people that I'm not that good of friends with, I only talk about Survivor with them.
Yeah.
That's
understandable.
Never had a conversation with them that's not about Survivor.
Yeah. If you were on Survivor and the only conversations you have with me are about Survivor, then you're not in my top eight.
You're bringing the top eight back.
Bringing the top eight back because MySpace is probably, stock prices are probably surging for MySpace now that Facebook's getting dominatrix.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, MySpace, that Tom kept your stuff safe. He wasn't like selling it willy-nilly to anybody that came along.
No, I don't ever remember any data breaches with MySpace.
No, they did not. They didn't do that. That wasn't their thing. It was MySpace, not like we're going to give your space to other people. You're subletting.
Yeah, not everyone's space. To other people.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, I got to pick apart your intro a little bit.
Okay.
I feel like it wouldn't be too preposterous to say coming to you live from your house. You live in a house now.
Like,
you're not
that. People didn't like
it. Oh, you tried it?
I used to say coming to you live. I tried out coming to you live from the studios of Rob as a Podcast, and the house doesn't really have a nice ring to it.
Technically, what about my landlord's house?
Yeah, coming to you live, my landlord's house. So yeah, people didn't like it when we changed it. They liked it better apartment. So we sort of like the studio is named my apartment because I spend so much time here.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the idea for that.
Okay, I get it. I mean, you can definitely justify it. Plus, it is a signature thing. I just thought, you're growing up. You know, if people are still assuming when you're 80 and doing this still and you're still in an apartment, although you might get more people joining your patron page, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Out of sympathy only.
It's like, boy, he's really old to live in an apartment.
Yeah, he should get his family out of that apartment.
Yeah, so it looks small.
Where are the kids right now?
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways, that was an idea that failed miserably. So I guess just keep it at apartment. And I just want the viewers to know that you're doing just fine. Yeah.
Inevitably, after my divorce, it'll be back to apartment.
But you'll be saving tons of scratch.
We would have to, but it'll all go to my alimony. But let's not talk about a marriage split. Let's talk about a tribe that was split, a merged tribe, Tyson, split in two with two tribal councils last night.
I liked it.
And you liked it.
I liked it. I liked that it was a kind of a strategic twist that I liked. I wouldn't have liked it to be sprung on me in the moment like that if I were playing. But from a viewer standpoint, and definitely going into the future, preparing yourself for something like that, I liked it.
Yeah.
It forced players to have more relationships with more people.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like in a situation like that, someone who was good with almost everybody would thrive more than someone who has cut themselves off from half the tribe because they're sticking with their alliance for whatever reason.
Yeah, we got to find out a little bit more about the genesis of this in a couple different interviews that were posted today. Both Dalton Ross and Josh Wigler asked Jeff about it, and Jeff gave the credit to our good buddy Matt Van Wagnen was the person who came up with this idea to, you know, they needed to do a double tribal council somewhere along the way and thought that this would be a fun way to spring it. I just think that the show got unlucky in terms of what the breakdowns were.
Because the majority was the majority in both of those splits.
Well, not just that, it was also like the biggest characters were all in one tribe, and with the exception of Donathan, who's been a big figure, the other four people there with Donathan were also just like four people that had not really been the stars of the season. So yeah,
they were four people that if they opened their mouths to talk and sounded like Donathan, we wouldn't know one way or the other whether or not that was their real voice.
Right. It was the kind of night where they could have taken the first tribal council and said, check out the first tribal council on CBS.com. And then not that many people would have complained.
Or
like that's
or
a just secret scene, the other tribal council. And then Jenna's
done a commercial.
Yeah.
Just done a commercial and been like, while you were away, Jenna was relegated to the jury and now is the real tribal council that you guys are probably excited to see.
Right. Like the technical awards on the Oscars. Like here's the scroll. Here's how everybody voted. Okay. And then let's spend more time on what's Kellen and Michael and Dominic talking about.
And go back to them talking more.
Yeah, I think we could have seen that. Because even they were like, yeah, Jeff, like there's nothing to see here. Let's get on with this.
He said it was the shortest tribal council they'd ever had.
Nobody cares what we have to say, Jeff. What are you doing?
I did like the play out on that one a little bit, though. Mm-hmm. I liked how Jenna assumed she was with the majority three. And so she told Donathan that they told her that they were voting her out. And then when she at tribal council was like, they told me they're voting me out, but they hadn't told her they were voting her out. They were all like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think all of that spooked Donathan enough into playing his idol for himself. I think if Jenna would have maybe relaxed just a second or a little bit more or played her cards a little differently, I think Donathan would have played the idol for her.
Yeah. There's been a lot of analysis about, you know, did Donathan make the right move? Did he make the wrong move? I mean, I think he definitely made the wrong move because he wasted his idol there.
Yeah, he could have kept his idol.
Had he played his idol on her, though, that he probably...
That's the wrong move, too.
He would have gone home that she actually...
Because she was wanting him to go home anyways.
Yeah, well, I don't think she wanted him to go home, but I think she would have rather stayed.
Yeah, she was ready to slit his throat. The other thing, too, is why couldn't Donathan have split that idol in two pieces before tribal council, given half to Jenna and half to him, and been like, this still is a super idol when we play it together. So you guys got to figure something else out.
Yeah, we've seen Michael earlier this season where that they'll let you, stretch the truth or, you know, tell people your own definition of what these idols are, where he had this is James's idol and he had two of them. So I can protect two people at this tribal council.
Well,
so,
I think you can always stretch the truth at Survivor. When you hand it over to Jeff,
precedent.
He's going to define
precedent.
What its power is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think you show, there is precedent on this one, too. And there was two strings and two pieces. Why would you not utilize it that way? I'm sure when the idol was placed out there, I'm sure production envisioned it being played in such a way.
Yeah, where, I'll wear one, you wear the other. Hey, guys, nobody's going home tonight from the JV Tribal Council, from the Malolos. So you guys are going to have to vote out one of your own. Again, would they have called their bluff and continued to vote that way? Who knows?
Not with it around their neck. And also, I think it's very plausible that it could have been a super idol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would it not be? There's two idols there, and just be like, it's played the super idol. We are reversing the curse of when Ty didn't play it. It would have been an easy sell. I think it would have. It's a no brainer. It definitely would have worked.
Yeah, I don't even know if they needed to bring in the super idol part of it, where it's just like, if they, like, during the tribal council, Donathan says, hey, I've got my idol. Hey, I've got one for Jenna too. No Malolos are going home tonight. So Navidi, what are you doing? Who, like, we're putting our votes on Angela tonight. So, all right, who's with us?
Yeah. Foolproof. Yeah. Definitely would have worked.
I think it would have worked. I think it would have been good. Although I bet Donathan feels less bad about the whole thing after seeing that Jenna
was ready to let him go.
Yeah.
She thought she was tricking him so good. Even that smirk on her face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until he played it for himself. And then she was like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I asked her about that in the exit interview today. And I said, well, why were we in such a hurry to say, okay, hey, let's get to the vote. Come on, let's go. And I think her concern was that something was going to happen at the tribal council that was going to spook Donathan to the point where then he was going to realize, like, oh, I should play the idol for myself. Like, she was worried somebody's going to screw up here.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat is asking about Donathan lending the idol to Michael. That gets into a sticky situation, because giving the idol to somebody, I don't know what constitutes ownership in that moment. If you agree to hand the idol to somebody, then maybe it will become theirs, and whether or not they choose to return it, I don't know. I think Donathan was right to not let Michael have it.
I think that Donathan was wrong to let Michael see that he had it in the first place. I think that he really screwed up going back to last week, where now everybody knew he had this idol to the point.
And how it worked.
Right. It's the point where Michael.
Although if he would have sold it immediately as a super idol, then people would have feared him.
Yeah, that told people that, like, with the note that it was a super idol and that he could stay in the game after the votes were read.
Correct.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because then that gets around. That's how Tony won his entire game.
Mm-hmm.
So was that super idol.
Should Donathan,
that's how he won,
have just won or worn this super idol to every tribal council and say, hey, I've got the super idol from Ko Rong. You can't vote me out.
Yes.
That's not bad. That's a good idea.
Like, that's how Tony won. Everybody credits Tony with being this amazing superstar genius. The only reason he won was the super idol.
Did they know that he had the super idol?
Yeah, he told people he had the super idol.
Yeah.
You tell them that power, everybody is going to be hesitant to vote for you. You have to find the perfect moment where you can split the votes on him and get him to have to play his idol. But that moment is a tricky spot to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it seems like, yeah, Donathan, it was this idol really just burned a hole in his hand. That some people have said you can't have a bad idol play when there's five people in the game, Tyson. A tribal council with five people.
I didn't play an idol at five.
Mm, yeah.
No, I did. You did. For Jervis.
Right. So do you feel like, do you fault him at all for using the idol in that tribal council of five?
Like, no, because his name was coming up.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't fault him. He knows it's him or her. Mm-hmm. She's being all super weird about stuff. Yeah. Like she's being weird. Everybody else is wigging out at everything she's saying.
Yeah.
He's going to get a little antsy.
Yeah. No, she was getting a little weird, and then that's a good signal. So yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world that he played the idol, but that I do think that we can say the right move would have been to not play the idol.
The right move would have been to not play the idol in hindsight, because he didn't get voted for, but I don't think you can feel bad about that idol play.
No. So going back to borrowing his idol, now, I think that he ended up in that situation where he looked for it with his whole tribe and brought everybody into it. And I think if he is able to keep that a secret, then he doesn't have to have the awkward conversation. I do feel like it's the kind of thing that Michael could potentially resent Donathan down the road, even to the jury phase of the
jury.
Game, where, like,
yeah.
you know, hey, like, you could have helped me out. I wasn't going to steal your idol. You know me. I have an Eagle Scout tattoo on my chest. I've been with
you. He does?
Yes, Michael does.
What's it say? Be prepared?
No, whatever the Eagle Scout motto is. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Yeah. You don't have any ink, right?
No.
Yeah. Should I,
not yet.
What about me? Should I get some?
Some ink?
Yeah. On no, my honor. We're in it. On my honor. See, that's one of the great reasons of having.
Oh, on my honor. Twitch yeah. Chat. I mean, no, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
Why? You want to? You want to join the throngs of people with tattoos?
No, I really don't. That my wife is talking about that she wants to. She's like, oh, I want to get like our kids' names. I'm like, why? What are you going to forget their names?
Yeah, you might.
She might.
What if they change their names?
She wants me to get her name tattooed on me.
Oh, but we already talked about your inevitable and right. impending. You know how small the dating pool after your divorce would shrink if you had to only date Nicole's?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So that's a whole different podcast that we'll maybe we
yeah can do. That's a whole this thing will be going 6 hours yeah. long.
No, we'll talk about that. We have a really fun podcast coming up in the not this off season, the off season after that, January 10th, 2019. The best survivor tattoos of all time with Mike Bloom. So that is coming up. Mark your calendar for this January.
I know what 1 and 2 are.
What's 1 and 2?
Left arm of Philip, right arm of Philip. And then I know what 3 is. Sandy Bergen's lower back tattoo that says tramp stamp.
It literally says tramp stamp?
Correct.
That can't be real. That's not true.
That's real.
Is there photographic evidence of that?
Probably. I believe the story behind it.
You're lying right now.
Unless I'm remembering extremely incorrectly, it says tramp stamp.
I'm pissed.
Because she wanted to get a tattoo before she went on the show, and like her daughter or somebody was like, she's like, I'm going to get one on my lower back. And her daughter's like, a tramp stamp. And she's like, what? And they're like, that's what it's called. And she's like, okay, I'll get a tramp. And she had it say tramp stamp.
This is an urban legend.
No, I think she got a tramp stamp that says tramp stamp.
What do you, now you think?
It was 10 years ago, bro.
You
but
would
I'm
remember
fairly certain.
You would remember that for certain.
I'm fair. Well, unless I've dreamed about it every night since then to convince myself that it's true, I'm pretty certain that it's true.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can get some confirmation on that from
somebody. Will know. Somebody will know and find it.
That's the most hilarious thing I've ever heard. If that's the case,
that is the case.
All right. Let's talk about the other tribal council and okay. what's going on there. And again, this was a very unlucky draw for Michael to have Dominic and Wendell and Kellen and Laurel all at that one tribal council. I want to talk to you about Dominic and Wendell and their relationship, because I feel like that you probably have some insight into this, where you have these two guys who are yeah. best of friends out there. Seems like that they have everything going in their favor. And as somebody who was part of a survivor bromance, do you see any similarities between
Multiple
survivor bromances. But I specifically want to talk about you and Jervis in Survivor okay. Blood versus Water. And I'm not trying to make the lazy comparison of that if you squint, maybe they look the same. No, that's not what I'm saying, Tyson.
Okay.
I'm talking about two guys who are very close friends. And
yes.
even in the bigger group, that everybody sort of recognizes, okay, those two guys are tight. But I think that in some way, I think that you and Jervis are sort of the opposite of Dominic and Wendell, the bizarro Dominic and Wendell.
Or are they the bizarro us?
Yeah, probably they're the bizarro you guys.
So my relationship with Jerv was that, and he may feel differently, and he's stated that he's felt differently after the game, but whether or not that's 100% accurate, I don't know fully. I was never going to get rid of Jerv. I never wanted to get rid of Jervis. I never needed to get rid of Jervis. And my plan was to never get rid of Jervis, because I knew that I had probably outplayed him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. And that people liked people disliked us about the same amount.
Yeah.
So from the jury standpoint, I was like, I have the fairest chance if they're basing it based on friendships alone with Jervis. But Jervis will say that he was planning to get rid of me when the timing was right, which also from his standpoint was correct. He probably should have tried to get rid of me at some point, but that point never came because I won out on challenges, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you, in this circumstance, you have to see who's the alpha and who's the beta. Who's the guy who everyone is going to vote for in the end? Is it Wendell or is it Dom?
Yeah. So who do you see as the alpha and the beta in that relationship?
I think Dom is probably the alpha. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree in terms
of... But it's hard to tell.
Being like the more vocal leader, but I wonder if we polled the jury...
Pulling the strings more.
I think that Wendell would probably be the guy that would get
Wendell's
more
jury the votes. Mastermind. Wendell's the mastermind and Dom is the personality.
I don't know. I wouldn't say mastermind. I would say the guy with the better social game.
Okay. I mean, they both played super poor socially at the last challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because what made me think about you and Jervis here is now here are these two guys in Dominic and Wendell, the two last people standing in the challenge and who are literally having an argument with each other over who's going to win this one. Should it be me or should it be you? I'm not going to let you have this one. Oh, no, this one is mine. I'm going to beat you. Oh, you'll see. I'm so good at this challenge. No, I'm better at challenges in front of everybody. Where
very bad.
You and Jervis of it is who wants to sit out of this challenge? Who wants to not even compete for immunity? Who is it? Tyson and Jervis. Two guys who are going out of their way to not be threatening and not show off in front of the group and eat all the food. And if anything, get people a little annoyed with you guys, as opposed to two guys that are going to go toe to toe in front of the entire group for dominance.
Yeah. I mean, when I was watching that, I was like, those guys are too arrogant while playing the challenge as the two finalists. And that's not going to bode well for their image as a whole. But then I did think back to when me and Jervis sat out and we both were making comments while we were eating. Mm-hmm. And part of my strategy there was to try and I was planning on playing my idol that night. So I was trying to draw votes onto me anyways, just to draw votes away from everybody else that was with me. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily work. So then I kind of sunk back into a more polite attitude. But when I was watching that, I was like, if I was sitting on the bench and had just lost the challenge and these two guys are there gloating about who's going to win and why, I am going to be irritated.
Yeah. It just said that these guys, that they're in this great spot and that there is a target on their back. And it just felt like that they were trying to make the target as big as possible for the two of them. They both have an idol, too. I mean, why let that challenge play out longer and longer? We see this all the time on Survivor where people sit there. And if you're the person who doesn't win that long immunity challenge, people are saying like, oh, boy, it's a good thing that person lost. Maybe we should take a shot at them tonight. I just kind of feel like if that's your ally, get out of there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have done.
Especially, and you guys had the number. It was like such an open and shut case for the two of them.
It's exactly what I would have done. And I would. So, yeah, if I were Dom and Wendell in that situation, it is hard to lose challenges at five. Mm-hmm. Like I probably would have tried to win that challenge, but I wouldn't have gloated. And I think that the people sitting on the bench should have easily been like, look at how tight those guys are. Let's just get one of them out.
Yeah. Cause we've seen this. Talk so much about in fans versus favorites this season. And that's, you know, you have everybody who's sort of like watching, Jason is up. Oh, we gotta get rid of him. Gotta get rid of Ozzy. He's up there for a long time. And
well, anybody who's on their high horse too about it, mm-hmm. I've been on that high horse.
Yeah. How is it?
I got knocked right off. It's great up there. It feels good at the time, but you take a hard fall and these guys, you know, it's, for me, I'm the type of player that if I were sitting on that bench and watching those guys, strategically, it would have been the right move to take one of them out, but also I think there would be been some personal gratification in taking one of them out as well. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I like Wendell and Dom just fine. I think they're great on the show, but I think in that moment, they probably upset a few people.
Yeah. Well, to me, I feel like that the real missed opportunity was from Kellen, as we're sort of sorting this out the day after, where Michael was going to vote for Wendell, that he had been targeting Wendell for a while. Kellen knew about this. She's got to know the Navidi thing is not working anymore, right?
Well, based on what we see of next week's episode, she definitely figures it out.
I think
a little late.
Those two guys are talking at the tribal council. It's like,
yeah, that is ridiculous. Like, why aren't Laurel and Kellen at that moment where they're like, oh, we're not in these conversations. Okay, Michael, we're with you.
Well, in fairness to Laurel, that she sort of got the thing with them of like, we're not really your friend, but we're secret friends. So don't let anybody know that we're actually friends. This is a secret alliance. And that served her well to this point of getting her further in the game. But for Kellen, who at the point where she has two votes, she knows where Michael's vote is going. And so those two guys have a conversation with each other that she is clearly excluded from. Why not vote for Wendell at that point?
She was just too scatterbrained. She's, I mean, you're tired and you're hungry at that point. It's hard to think straight sometimes. And in those moments, I mean, we can pick it apart here and say what's right or wrong. And that's pretty clear move to take out Wendell, especially when you are feeling excluded. And she's even said it herself. She's felt excluded from them. So it is weird to not go that way. And that's the thing. It's like, if she is convinced that Michael has an idol, mm-hmm. and Dom is convincing her he doesn't, mm-hmm. and neither one of them are proving it to her, she at that point needs to follow her gut. If she's thinking that Michael really does have an idol,
yeah,
she needs to take out Wendell.
Now, she never asked Michael to see the idol that he said that he had. Was that particularly bad, or you feel like that you could give her a pass for that?
For showing the idol?
For not getting him to show the idol to her before the tribal council.
She should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he had a fake one somewhere or found the fake one that Dom stashed or whatever, he needed to show her something, and she should have been like, well, then show it to me. Oh, I don't have it. It's stashed away. I will go with you. Let's go to where it is and let's see it.
I buried it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Any of that. Why are you being so weird about the whole thing?
Yeah, we need to. I would get to the bottom of it.
Because this really, I think, ended up last week's episode was bad for her. And I feel like that her game is on life support right now, Kellen.
Yeah. And it looks like she's now having to, based on what little we see of next week's episode, based with what we've seen throughout this episode, she's now having to scramble and bring herself to the front and put the focus on her to try and swing things back into the direction she wants. But you get one chance to make that move. I don't think you get two opportunities to make a big, huge, like, what would it be called? A big, huge display and then sink back in and then do it again. I think once you jump in the driver's seat and direct the game the way you want it, you are in the driver's seat at that point.
Yeah.
So if she's successful in steering the game the direction she needs it to go for herself in the next episode or two, she's now in the driver's seat. Or she's going to get voted out in the next couple episodes.
That's what I think. The thing that for her, I think that she's been blinded by is that she doesn't realize that Laurel and Donathan are with Dominic and Wendell. So she feels like, okay, great. We'll get rid of those guys. And then I've got.
And she put both her votes on Laurel, right?
She put both her votes on Laurel, right.
And that's the other thing, too. She's burned her bridge with Laurel now.
And it seemed like that she didn't have an actual plan. Her plan was like a contingency of, I just need to put these two votes on Laurel to protect myself just in case Michael plays his idol, as opposed to, okay, let me knock somebody out this round with my two votes.
Yeah, that's also a lack of foresight and lack of playing the game. You never want to keep more people in the game that hate your guts for you sliding them. And her putting those, if she would have put both her votes on Wendell, would have been a guarantee he would have gone home, and Wendell wouldn't have been there to be angry with her, but Dom would have. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, numbers wise, it's not going to matter. She's going to piss somebody off in that moment. But with Dom, she could always justify, oh, I thought Michael had an idol, and he could be like, you dummy, I found the advantage. And she'd be like, well, you didn't show me. You didn't prove anything to me.
Yeah.
So that's, she had to do one of those two things, I think, for herself, thinking that Michael had the idol. So the more we talk about it, the more I'm okay with doing something there. Mm-hmm. It was like, do you want to piss off Laurel or do you want to piss off Dom?
Yeah. Or she could have just gone along with the plan. I mean, I'm not sure why, if she knew that Michael was voting for Wendell, what was she afraid of? Oh. That Laurel was going to vote for her? I'm not sure. Like, I don't really understand why she was so paranoid about going home. Did she think that maybe Michael was lying to her about all of this? Why not string Michael along and say, well, we'll go with your plan. Let's vote out Wendell tonight, and then just not play her two votes on, like, still vote for Michael there.
Well, based on what we saw on TV, I think she was concerned that Michael was going to play an idol, and that because of that, and because of the fear of the idol, Dom and Wendell would either focus on her or Laurel and wouldn't tell those two which one they were going to vote out.
Mm-hmm. Was she worried that Laurel was going to be voting for her at that tribal council, and then with the one vote, or maybe Michael and Laurel were lying to her and they were going to put their two votes on her?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate, but I don't know. It was a sticky situation, and I think forcing Michael to show her something would have been the safest way to go about it. And maybe she did, and maybe he did show her something that we're not seeing. I don't know. But she was pretty convinced he had an idol.
Yeah. Do you feel like that Kellen is on tilt at this point in the game? Do you feel like that just like these last couple of rounds, which have not gone her way, do you believe in that in Survivor?
On tilt? Yeah, you have to bring yourself back down. Like, it's hard, but I have a hard time thinking you're on tilt for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days consecutive. Mm-hmm. But I think definitely for a day or two. Like, when Rachel got voted out, I was like convinced I just needed to vote out Monica. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just vote out Monica, then Brad, then that will make me feel better and Brad will be pissed.
Because she's been like the person that you talk about where everything goes their way for so long, and then she's kind of hit this first bump in the road a couple episodes back, and then things have just gone into a tailspin spiral for her, where now nothing has gone her way, and she doesn't seem to be able to pull out a nosedive.
Yeah, what she needed to do—that's the other thing too. It's like if she was feeling like Dom and Wendell were leaving her out of decisions, and she was like in that moment where she had that conversation with Dom and he's like, I can assure you that Michael doesn't have an idol. I'm telling you, he doesn't. I have a good read on people. If I'm in that conversation and I'm Kellen, I'm thinking, why is he so certain? He's certain because he's not going home tonight, and he doesn't care if it's me or Michael or whoever. He just knows it's not him, and things are going to go smoothest for him if I just follow his plan. In that moment, I think when Michael's like, I will be 100% with you after this point, she almost needs to make a deal with Michael.
Yeah.
You know, go to Michael and say, okay, I got two votes. Let's vote somebody out.
she hasn't wanted to work with Michael the whole game, where Michael was somebody that, you know, I think if we
even for how pretty he is,
yeah, he's a very, very handsome guy, very nice guy. And she has not wanted to work with him in the post-merge game. And I really thought that he was going to be somebody that he was the last person left from the Malolo, where she went to tribal council a couple of times with that whole crew with Bradley when they voted out when they voted out Stephanie, when they voted out Brendan, when they voted out James. And he was the one guy that walked away from that. And I thought that she was sort of like, okay, that he's going to be one of my numbers. And I thought that she came into this merge where she had all these pawns, where she was set up pretty well, where she could have picked up the Malolo people and she could have, you know, grabbed the bottom people from the VD, like the Chelseas and the Angelas and the Desirees of the world. And I thought that she really could have flipped this on its head. But I feel like that opportunity has just about passed her by.
You never, but being in that same position, you never, unless you're feeling like you're on the bottom of the majority alliance, mm-hmm. why would you flip it?
Yeah.
Like if you're feeling fine and comfortable, it's like people say that all the time about blood versus water. Like, why didn't Sierra flip sooner? How come Hayden and Caleb didn't flip sooner? Because they didn't feel like they were on the bottom mm-hmm. until it was too late.
Yeah. And in the case of Dominic and Wendell, they've done a really good job of, you know, creating this four-person alliance that nobody knows about. So I think people are looking at them as not as threatening because they're saying, well, they're just two. We have all these other numbers and we'll vote them out when we get to seven. We'll vote them out when we get to six. We're not going to let them get to the end. We're going to bring Seabass. We're going to bring Angela. We're going to bring Chelsea to the end. And well, we've got the numbers still to vote them out. They just don't realize that they have more numbers than people think.
Yeah. I feel like even in those secret alliances, it's really, really hard to play that up. Mm-hmm. I think it can be done, but
play what up?
You've got to play it up that you're only two and that you're not really tight with anybody else. I think everybody's watching Dom and Wendell talk to Laurel mm-hmm. and everybody's seeing them talk to Kellen and everybody's seeing all the conversations. So I think people are probably more privy to it than we actually are as viewers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's because that's the thing is when you have an alliance, you have to make them feel like they're in your alliance. And so if you have to take a step or two or three away from them, now all of a sudden they're not even feeling like they're in your alliance because they're not getting the love they need to stick around. Mm-hmm. So that's a really tricky play. You have to have some pretty confident people to make that work.
So, and what do you do?
What do you do to make that work? Yeah. You just have to find somebody who has the same plan and is okay. And then you have to find a time to talk when nobody can see you talk. Mm-hmm. Middle of the night. I don't know. I don't know when that is.
Yeah. Do you feel like that Dominic and Wendell have done enough to really keep Laurel and Donathan on board? Because sometimes it's hard to tell if Laurel feels great about this alliance that they're talking.
Yeah, I always feel like she's not really feeling great about it, but maybe she's just playing that up.
Yeah. No, they're sort of like the, you know, not that I know anything about this, but this is like the.
Okay, I feel like it's something you're going to know a lot about.
they're like the side squeeze where they're, you know, it's like, you know, that they're like texting like in the middle of the night and like you up and they're not like the Navidi thing is the, you know, public face of Dominic and Wendell, but they're really stepping out and going to go see Laurel and Donathan.
Yeah.
They're like the other woman.
Yeah. They are like the, yeah. I mean, but then people get suspicious. It's like, okay, let's do a side thing. And then Laurel's watching them have conversations with Kellen all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a juggling act.
Yeah. And Laurel and Donathan are like, how come you never take us anywhere? How come we never see you? You never meet with us in public. How come you never introduce us to your friends as your alliance?
Exactly. Well, on Heroes versus Villains, I told Coach, I was like, we can't talk at all in front of people because we were just on a show together and we were in an alliance together. And he was like, okay, well, I just got to talk to you real quick. I was like, no, we can't talk at all.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, let's just do a big hug in front of everybody real quick. I was like, no.
That was in Reno or that was in Heroes versus Villains?
That was in Heroes versus Villains. And I just like, no, we can't do any of that stuff. We can't hug. We can't talk together by ourselves one-on-one. And every time Coach would pull me aside to talk, I'd make sure that other people were there with us. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, come here. Coach is just talking. Come on over here, guys. Everybody, Coach is talking.
Get in here.
Yeah.
Get in here for that. Now, Tyson, to go back to Heroes versus Villains, that they had a double tribal council for the Heroes and the Villains tribe in that episode where you went home. Do you think that from a game perspective, it works better to do it this way at the merge? If you're going to have a double tribal council, is it more fair or less fair to have it earlier or later?
I think it's more fair to have it earlier, probably, because you're already divided in tribes and you're already trying not to be on the bottom of that particular tribe. Mm-hmm.
So the dynamics are the same. It's just like you lost the challenge as opposed to somebody.
Correct.
That there was one other time in Survivor history where they did something like this and a woman, Michelle Yee, got voted out and she was actually in the majority alliance. She just got voted off because she was on the wrong side of the numbers of the group that went to the tribal council.
Yeah. So I think that is definitely a trickier situation. Mm-hmm. Fair isn't the word, but maybe you have more control over it if you are already if you're doing two tribes at the tribal council instead of splitting one tribe into two tribes and then going to tribal council. Mm-hmm.
Although
then there's a lot left to fate.
You have a better chance of being immune where it's a 1 in 5 shot to be immune. I feel like you have more control over your own fate in that way. In terms
That's
of
true.
Keeping yourself safe as opposed to compete against your tribe of 9.
Also, do you think that Chelsea could be the only person we don't hear from all season and still win the game, winning every single challenge?
Boy, that would be something.
That was my dream in Token Jeans, was just to win every challenge and not have to deal with anything else.
What, you didn't like doing the confessionals?
No, I like doing the confessionals, but I didn't. I was like, what if you just win every challenge all the way to the end? You don't even really have to argue your case, and you don't even have to really strategically, you know, I mean, you'd still be placing yourself because you'd want a plan B. But if you could win every challenge all the way to the end, that would really be something.
What would you do? You won every single challenge and you would just sit there in the final two and say, look, I won every challenge. Yeah.
My laurels speak for themselves.
And my Donathans. I want to ask you about Laurel. And she's been in this situation where now people are looking at her. They want to see her make a flip to go in a different direction because they feel like that she's got to unseat Dominic and Wendell to be the person who wins the game. Do you look at her as somebody who is in sort of the Monica position right now, where Monica even like heard out a lot of people, but then ultimately people seem very frustrated with her at the end of the game?
Yeah, that could be. It's difficult in Laurel's situation because she's still going to make choices that she thinks are best for her. Mm-hmm. And people get upset when they think you're not making choices that are best for them, but also maybe best for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I even heard it. Jerv even heard it. Like, oh, if you would have gone with me, you know, and Jerv's like, well, I got to the end. Would I have done one better or two better than I did? Because if not, then I still made the right move. And so she could potentially be that person that everyone is frustrated with. And it's also hard because you are trying to manage a jury. So you're trying to hear people out and be cordial with them while at the same time having to vote them out. And if you're the person that is always getting sucked into the conversations because they perceive you as being on the bottom, I feel like that does hurt your game.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have anybody come to me and be like, hey, do you want to flip on Jerv and Monica? Not one time, because mm-hmm. they knew that A, I wouldn't, and that I was in the driver's seat. Whereas Jerv and Monica got propositioned all the time.
Yeah. And she's also in this unique position where that she is perceived as being on the bottom. And people are saying, you know, about her, like, oh, she's floating. She's not making a move. But in reality, she's like, hey, I'm three or four. So that's pretty good. I don't know necessarily what the move I could make that would get me further. I feel like that maybe in that way, she has more of a similar situation to Jervis, where she has, you know, a spot that's sort of waiting for her down at the end of the game. But it's hard to sort of, you know, get out in front of the people that might be more likely to win the game.
Yeah, that is hard. And if you wait too long, you paint yourself into a corner and you got nowhere to go. Yeah.
Do you see a move for her? Do you think that there's a way for her to shake things up?
I mean, I think if you could have organized it, you could have taken Michael, her and Kellen, get Wendell out. And then you'd also have to manipulate the first tribal council to go your direction as well, to then have the majority when you all came back together. So then you could, on the other side, have Donathan and Jenna. Mm-hmm. And if Donathan would have, you know, played his idol that same way, now all of a sudden the majority is over on that side. Mm-hmm. You come back with Jenna and Donathan, Michael, Kellen, and Laurel. That's a big move.
Yeah. And Laurel does have Donathan, and correct, they would just need basically like one other person to join with them, and then they could potentially get something going. The problem is just that those guys have idols and you can't get them out at the final five.
Yeah, it's true. And I also feel like I think Donathan's mostly just happy to be there. Mm-hmm. Like he's still smiling all the time. Mm-hmm. I was surprised when Michael asked him for his idol and he was very blunt with his answer.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked his bluntness. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It was great, but yeah, I think, Survivor is tricky because convincing someone like a Ty or a Donathan to make the correct move at the right moment isn't always easy because everybody is skeptical of everyone. So to be the salesman and get people to trust you that this is the direction they need to go, that's going to be met with some skepticism no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. What's in it for Tyson? Why does he want this? Maybe I should just do the opposite. Maybe I should, I don't know what I'm, you know, it's hard.
It's tricky.
Very tricky. You've been there before, Rob.
It was a long time ago, Tyson. I barely remember, though.
You, it was like a dream.
It was like a dream. And Martin Sheen was there also.
Oh, he was? Was he your dad?
Yes. And he was making a day 39 breakfast. Oh, maybe that's what his dream is. Maybe that was a day 39 breakfast that Martin Sheen was making.
So you think that Martin Sheen is either going to be there for the family visit or just at the end of the game?
Well, next week coming up is the family visit. It'd be great if Martin Sheen came in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'm very sorry. Wendell, your loved one couldn't make it, but Martin Sheen is here. Like,
or what about this? Even a bigger twist. Wendell, your dad is here, and his actual father is really Martin Sheen.
Wow. So it's like you get like sort of the reveal of your 23andMe.
The prophet. Yeah, the prophet who had the dream. And Dom?
Yes, and your stepbrothers with then Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jeff could spend a long time talking to him, just like Miles CPW in the chat is saying.
Yeah, they could have Martin Sheen in the audience sitting next to Cochran and then next to Sia on the other side.
I think that's a Survivor viewing party that happens every week. I think it's Cochran, Sia, and Martin Sheen.
Oh, Sia. I said Sienna.
Sienna. Sienna Dawn Thomas.
Yeah, Sienna Dawn Thomas. No, you're right. It is Sia.
Yeah. Maybe Sia is short for Sienna.
It could be. Probably is. I bet it's a made up name.
Yeah. Tyson, how impressed were you with Michael this season? Young 18-year-old Michael. Or should we not be that impressed? There's lots of impressive 18-year-olds out there in the world, just like you when you were going off to the Philippines on your first mission.
Yes, correct. I was also impressive.
Yes.
But I thought he played a good game, and I thought he had the maturity, it seemed, to pull off the lie that he told of being 23 or being older or whatever. I liked it. I would like to see him play again.
Yeah. And
I thought he was well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yes. And you last season, if I recall, you came on the podcast and you talked about you didn't get all the hype about this Devin Pinto. You said, you know what?
I didn't.
Was that what you said?
No, I said Devin was the handsomest man to ever play Survivor. Oh,
Cole, you thought was not that great.
Yeah, yes. Cole was. Yeah, Devin was handsome. Cole, no. Devin was the handsome.
I got that wrong. Okay, so this season, what is your handsome ratings?
Oh man, handsome ratings. Let me think of who's all on here. I think Devin is still more handsome than everybody else that's been on the show this season.
Even Michael. Wow. You are really taken with Devin Pinto.
I just prefer his build.
You like his build?
Yeah. A little leaner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael's more muscly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but Michael's handsome. I think if you're looking at this season, you've got Chris, you've got Michael. It's between those two probably, right?
Wendell's a handsome guy.
Wendell is handsome too.
Yeah.
But he's.
Yeah. What about Chris Noble?
Chris Noble? Yeah. What about him?
Yeah. Where's he in the rankings?
I think out of Chris Noble and Michael, I think Michael's more handsome.
Okay. Everybody.
But Chris is also handsome. I don't think that Chris is not handsome. I think he's handsome too.
Yeah. Everybody is very high on Michael. That Jeff Probst talked about him, I believe, in his interview with Dalton Ross today, talking about how everybody loves Michael. Everybody. Nobody has a bad word to say about him. But then great RHAP listener, Eric Laval, tweeted out earlier today, explain why you like Michael without citing his age or appearance. Go. Can you do that, Tyson?
That's what I think. I think that everybody's so high on him because he's 18. I mean, if he's a 30-year-old, you're supposed to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he's 18 and is able to be reserved and polite and intelligent that makes it different.
Yeah. I would agree.
Do you agree?
I would agree that I think that the reason why I think that he's been so easy to root for, one, I think he has played pretty well, especially that he was an underdog. And there's always an inherent bias towards people always like the people that are the underdogs in the game. But he was very scrappy. He never gave up. And for somebody who came into the games that I thought he was going to come in and be like a Chris Noble of, okay, here he comes, 18-year-old male model. Then he's going to be some sort of stupid entitled idiot. And he was anything but that. And he really seemed
the fact that he was able to do what he said and in a way that was convincing is why you like him,
right? And
as an 18-year-old,
yes,
like it's different if I'm going in and like, hey, so yeah, I work at a restaurant. I'm a server. And then they're like, but really, I'm not. I work on Wall Street. Like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a lawyer. Like there's always the big reveal. The 13 lawyers on the season can't wait to tell everybody the second they get voted out that they're actually a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many lawyers this season do we have? And they're just chomping at the bit to tell everybody they're actually a lawyer.
Should a lawyer come in and tell people they're a lawyer from now on, Tyson?
Yeah, at the end of the game,
say they're a lawyer.
Yeah, I think so.
This guy,
I think
everybody, he would be lying if he really was a lawyer.
Yeah, he'd, that's true. If I went in, I was like, yeah, I'm actually a lawyer, and I went to a Harvey League school. That's better than even an Ivy League school.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm a lawyer. I got my law degree from an Ivy League school, and everybody's like, well, we know he doesn't have a very good job because he's obviously lying about that, because he would lie about that if that were the truth.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you're doing a real switcheroo on him.
Tyson, if you play Survivor again, would you tell people that you are now a lawyer? You've been
from Ivy League school.
Look, I use my money from Blood versus Water. Mm-hmm. I went to law school. I'm now $200,000 in the hole because law school is very expensive.
Yes.
And that's why I need to win, because now I'm broke. I have these huge loans from going to law school and being a lawyer now.
Yeah. At an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Harvey League.
Harvey League school. I feel like the fact that we talked about it now and it's out in the open, it would still probably
Nobody's watching this.
That's what I'm saying. So I could, maybe I will. Maybe I'll keep revealing to people in secret that I'm a lawyer. So I won't go out there saying that I'm a lawyer, but I'll pull people aside. I'll be like, hey, Rob, come over here. Mm-hmm. We're really tight. And I just wanted you to know that not only am I a lawyer, and then I wait for your reaction, and you're supposed to be like, holy bejeebus, I've never met a lawyer in real life before. They're like the smartest people ever. And then I'm like, and I did it at an Ivy League school. And then you shit your pants out of like just like disbelief that there's someone that accomplished standing in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm with him, because why would he reveal such a sacred part of his life?
It's impressive. It's impressive. Count Octopus wants to know, who's cooler, 18-year-old Tyson or 18-year-old Michael? How impressed would we have been with 18-year-old Tyson?
Well, as much as people loved or hated, we'll do the scale. So I'm 38 now. 10 years ago, I was on Token Sheens.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the scale from me now, the person you know now, compared to the person you knew in Token Sheens.
Yeah.
And then swing the opposite side of the scale even 10 more years to the 18-year-old me.
Yeah.
So the people who hated me on Token Sheens would hated me twice as much.
Twice as much.
And the people who loved me on Token Sheens would have loved me twice as much.
Okay. So in 10 years from now, the people that loved you on Token Teens
are going to hate me.
Well, they'll love you as much as when they originally loved you. But
correct.
The haters will only hate you as third of much.
Yes. See, here's Tall Dial here.
Yeah.
Tall Dial said Token Teens Tyson was my favorite Tyson. You would have been in for a real treat with 18-year-old Tyson.
Yeah. So you would have been even more Token Sheens.
Even more Token Sheensy, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was 1998. I was 18 years old. See somebody here. See Rift 2G. I hated Token Sheens Tyson.
I got bad news.
Yeah. So I got bad news for you. You would really have hated 18-year-old Tyson.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I would have been, I probably would have been the Lex Luthor to Michael's Superman on this season if 18-year-old Tyson were there.
Yeah, you would have taken him down.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, Count Octopus appreciates all Tysons. Thank you for your unconditional love, Count Octopus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Octopus Tyson, what'd you make of this season's gross food eating competition?
What was the last thing again that they had to eat?
It was Mother of Pearl. Now, you guys did this in Blood versus Water, correct?
Yeah, but what is Mother of Pearl?
It's like a clam or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine. We had to eat those anyways. In Samoa, we ate those. Mm. They're gross, but they're doable, but they're super chewy.
Yeah, that's what the issue is?
Yeah, that's what the issue is.
Yeah.
I think they're super chewy.
Yeah. And so there you were with everybody back in Blood versus Water, and Monica Culpepper won that challenge. How did you fare?
I did the mealworms the fastest. Mm. They had like a shot glass full of mealworms and they were alive.
Yeah.
I just took one bite and swallowed them. And then that was it for me. The next thing was that like blanched pig intestine with bile still inside it.
Mm.
I couldn't do that. Have you ever been to a pig farm?
No.
Have you ever smelled a pig farm? Have you ever smelled a pig poo?
No.
All of it is very rancid.
Yeah.
And you take one bite of that intestine and it like goos in your mouth. Pig bile.
Yeah.
And I put it in my mouth thinking I was going to take a bite and swallow it, but it was like a rubber tire. My teeth could not get through it.
Yeah.
So people were breaking it by hand and swallowing it. I threw up and Jeff was like, you got to eat your throw up too, Tyson. I was like, I'm bowing out. Yeah. If you vomit on those, you're supposed to vomit on your plate and then you have to re-swallow. No, that's true. That's the rules.
Yeah.
If I had to do it over, though, I would have taken the ROM from the merge,
yeah,
and mouthwashed every time. Get that out. That pig shit smell, yeah, stuck in my facial hair, stuck all over my fingernails for days, yeah, no matter, yeah, what I did.
Yeah, that's not good. So wait, now,
well, it was good because it didn't make me hungry.
Yeah. So what do you mean you would have taken the, like, you would have filled your canteen with rum and gone to the gross food eating
or taken the bottle of rum with me to the gross food
but
eating challenge?
Haven't you never had a drink before?
Yeah, but I think for Survivor, why wouldn't you?
I mean, you've spent all this time not ever having a drink.
Yeah, but it's not like it's the braggable thing for me. I just don't really prefer it. So why would I not just do this?
So you have had drinks before, but you don't.
Well, I've had tastes of drinks, yeah, before. Yeah, but
you wouldn't look at this as you did not swallow.
I don't really care enough to like, I'm not on my high horse about the alcohol, mm-hmm, thing. I don't care. I would definitely, though, I would definitely have taken it to rinse my mouth out so that poop smell and poop taste was either down my throat or out of my mouth.
Okay. All right. Tyson, I have some.
Angela was crazy.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that?
Talk about it. You were impressed?
I don't know if I'm impressed, but I've definitely seen videos of that on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah, not the pornographic yeah, ones in nature, but the girl who's like, I do porn, but today I'm going to swallow this instead.
That's
like
a video?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of videos. I've seen people share those videos around. And now Angela is probably the most viral. No, not Danny. I have this guy that I'm friends with on Facebook that's like a meme lord.
Jervis?
And he shares a lot. Nope. It's meme someone lord. You don't know. Yeah, he's a meme lord. So he mostly shares memes now, but once in a while he'll share a video that's borderline inappropriate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's not spend too much time on it. Is it Dr. Mike?
The inappropriateness of it.
Is he the meme lord?
It's Dr. Mike.
Tyson, I've got to.
Tyson, check out this video of me. I don't have a gag reflex. And if you straighten your gullet all the way out, you can jam anything down there. If she would have gotten that down, how impressive would have that
been? She got one down and then it came back up.
She got a whole one, yeah, down.
It was
all the way down.
The second one that she did. She did it again. And then it came back up.
And did you see how she was like massaging her throat to get it down?
Yeah. She was. Look,
that's a trick. That's a trick of the trade.
She knows what she's doing. Tyson, is there anyone this season, whether they're still in the game or not, that you did not care for?
Trying to think of everybody. I think this is a pretty nice cast. It was hard to dislike anybody on the cast. Chris was probably the main, would you say, antagonist?
He was antagonistic, sure.
But I still didn't mind him. I thought he was a great character on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like his video that he made?
I did like his video that he made. I heard that got erased.
Yeah, they took it down.
Did anybody download it before that happened?
Yeah, it's on some other YouTube channels, but nobody knows for sure in terms of why they took it down.
Do you think that if Chris was embarrassed by it, that they would take it down because he asked them to?
Definitely not.
Okay, so that we can rule
Never
that out.
Never in the history of the show has Survivor done anything because a person said, like, hey, I'm kind of embarrassed about that. Could you not show that thing?
That's true. Okay, so we can rule that out.
Mm-hmm.
So why else would they take it down? It was getting too much heat.
It's too much heat. It's possible. The only thing that I could think of is that maybe the rap beat was potentially a copyright issue.
Oh, was it?
I mean, I have no idea.
I doubt it. I'm sure they already went over all of that.
You would think so, but I don't know. Nobody knows. It's a big mystery, Tyson.
You know who else raps? Aris can freestyle rap.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Next time he's on the show, have him do some freestyle.
He's going to do a freestyle rap?
Yeah, he'll do a freestyle rap for you.
Okay.
And then you can have Chris do a freestyle rap, and then you can have him rap battle.
A rap battle with Aris and Chris.
At the next RHAP live event, you should have Aris and Chris rap battle each other.
Yeah, I just need somebody to come up with a beat that's not copyrighted.
I think you could do that.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be amazing.
I think YouTube video and stuff has beats that are public domain.
Yeah.
Okay. Just use a public domain beat.
A public domain beat, and then we'll get Aris to do a rap battle. Does he have a rap that is pre-planned, or is it going to freestyle?
Who?
Aris.
He can. I think he can probably freestyle for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't know that about him.
No, I had no. I had no idea.
He loves to show off his talents. How could you not know that about him?
That was one that he never showed me.
Huh.
Lauren D has a question for you, Tyson. What are your thoughts on Sebastian's flow, talking about his hair? You have been a longstanding hair correspondent for us here mm-hmm. on the podcast.
Yeah, his hair is okay. I think Wendell's probably got some of the best hair on the season, wouldn't you say?
Good hair. But
yeah, Wendell's got good hair. But Sebastian, I don't know. His super dark eyebrows like pull my eyes away from his hair.
Yeah. Are they good? I've heard them called perfect, and I've also heard them called creepy.
The eyebrows?
Yeah.
I think they pop a little too much compared to the hair. I think is his hair naturally bleached, or is that like synthetic?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, Tyson.
Because I think if it's a synthetic bleach, he needs to go natural with his hair color so that it can match his eyebrows a little more, because his facial hair is really dark.
Could he benefit from the mane and tail shampoo?
Probably everybody can.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Yeah, Sebastian's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because he's not who you expect when they tell you they're a fishing guide in the Florida Keys.
Right.
I think when he opens, I mean, from the outside in, yes, looking at him, you're like, okay, that matches exactly what I would picture. But then when he opens his mouth, he's soft-spoken. He speaks fairly well, but he doesn't speak very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the sound of his voice. Maybe he should be a voice actor.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll have to go back and listen to that and try to imagine him being animated. And it seems
he'd definitely be more animated than he is on the show.
Why, you think he's spaced out?
He's asleep like 95% of the time. Like, you know how computers have standby mode where you can push a button and they'll wake up, but then they'll sink back into standby if you don't do anything with them?
He's in standby mode?
Seabass is in standby mode all the time. And if you push the on button, he'll be like,
then he'll wake.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight back into standby mode.
Yeah. Were you surprised that he pushed for Jenna to go home this week?
Yeah. Why did he do that? I don't know why he did that.
I don't know. But because they are apparently
dating now.
Right.
They even have a shared Instagram account.
Yes. Is that a good move?
To have a shared Instagram account?
Yes.
I think it is in the moment while you're dating, but when you break up, it definitely makes things rough.
Who gets possession of that? Is that is there such a thing as like a prenup for couples? A prenup?
They're probably. Oh, I don't know. I think you have to lawyer up in that. So good thing there's 8 secret lawyers on this season that they've befriended.
Yeah. Is that a new fun card game? People are playing Secret Lawyer.
Yeah. Secret Lawyer. It's so much fun.
It's like, I'm telling you, I'm an accountant.
Yeah. I'm not a lawyer who went to an Ivy League school. I'm just a regular schlum off the street.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, everybody's a schlum except for a Harvey League lawyer.
I'm a hot dog vendor.
I'm a hot dog vendor. Believe it. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Seabass and Jen.
Seabass and Jen. Yeah, that's also, and this is, I don't think it's reading into it too much. They became close friends somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Was it at Ponderosa on the jury? Maybe. This can't bode well for Seabass dating this woman on the show after she gets voted out, because where did their relationship blossom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why, you don't think that if he was the winner, he wouldn't be more attractive to Jenna? Or you feel like
he would, but when would they have time to spend together? They, as the winner, you go and shower and then they put you on a plane and send you home.
Didn't you win a season and then marry a girl who was a pre-merge boot? I mean, I think you
that is true.
Need to take a look in the mirror before you come down on Seabass.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think, No, I think he doesn't. They don't have time unless she's so good at the game of Survivor. Yeah. That once she found out that he had won the show, she wins him over.
But don't they both live in Florida? I mean, isn't it entirely possible that nothing?
How do you know so much about these people?
I mean, I think that he lives in Florida. I'm assuming that she does live
in Florida. Because,
like, there's a lot of pictures of her around, right?
Okay.
I have no idea.
They said they held hands and slept next to each other at night, but they never talked strategy.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's what this person said. So that's interesting. So I don't know. That's weird. So they were in love, but they were unwilling to work together on the show.
Well, I think that that's like the playground thing, where you have a girl that is like pulling your hair on the playground, and she secretly likes you. I think that that's the ultimate move of if you really like somebody, you vote them out.
Oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're negging them.
Yeah, so he just he totally just tripped her, pushed her face down in the mud, and then dumped the contents of her backpack in the puddle with her.
He's like, I just did it because I didn't know how to talk to you.
I have a crush on you, duh.
I really like you so much. Yeah. Okay. This is a question Survivor Central wants to know. Is Tyson annoyed or flattered that Probst stole his that's your seat over there on the jury bit? A couple people have pointed this out, that Jenna had to go right from being voted out to go sit on the jury over there. Similar to how you once upon a time told Katie Collins about, hey, that's your seat over there. Now, Katie Collins got to go to Ponderosa first before she had to come back and sit in her seat. But that should somebody have told Jenna as they voted her out, go over there, or they had no idea she would go directly to the jury.
Yeah. So you want me to comment on Jeff stealing my line?
Yeah.
I mean, a good line is a good line. Who am I to, once I construct it, it's fair game, right?
I'm even trying to credit back to
give me credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
If you can.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think back to the times that people got voted out in tribal councils, like two tribal councils in one night with the jury, where I think that Dawn and Whitney went out back to back. I don't remember. I don't know who went out first, but I don't remember them going if Dawn was the one who got voted out first.
I went out first with James, and yeah, I didn't get to sit on the jury.
Yeah. The jury.
There wasn't a jury yet. That was pre-jury.
So I don't know if they took those people and made them sit on the jury, because I think it's sort of like a blind side to the second person when they've done that. Hey, all right. Yeah. You got that note that we gave you earlier. Why don't you open it up? And it's like, it says, oh, another tribal council. So I think that that would be a tell if the other person went and sat in the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Katie went to Redemption Island. So technically, Tyson, you were
incorrect. So Jeff was like, that was part of it, was Jeff was writing my wrong on Ghost Island.
Yes, he's reversing
he's reversed the curse.
Thank you, Riff2G in the chat.
And thank you, Jeff, for finally reversing the curse that has plagued me the last 4 years.
Yes, okay. So I want to get into more questions from the listeners, and we'll open it up to questions from the Twitch chat as well. But let me take a moment and thank our sponsor here for this episode of this fine podcast. Support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams, Tyson, your hub for teamwork in Office 365.
Yep. There's no I in team.
There is not. Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world, with so much to look after. Wouldn't it be great if there was just one place that you could look? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and your apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. Whether you're sprinting towards a deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more. Very important to have good teamwork, Tyson.
It's one of the most important things. And remember, again, no I in teams.
No I in teams. There was one in everybody's mouth in that gross food eating competition, though.
Yeah, gross.
That was pretty gross. Edward Morris has a question, Tyson. Should Kellen have told Michael about that extra vote?
I mean, if she was going to work with him, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fine line, right? Where if you want to, pull off a big plan with somebody, you have to start telling people about your advantages. But at the same time, you are a believer in keeping those advantages a secret, right?
Yeah. I mean, to a certain degree, I think when you play them, if you don't show them to your closest people and they figure out that you played them, then they feel like they can't trust you fully. Like you have been keeping something from them. Mm-hmm. So I think before you play them, you need to share it with somebody if you have, or figure out a way to disguise it. Kellen maybe could have asked Michael which way he was voting and said, okay, I'll vote with you. And then also voted at Michael with two votes. Mm-hmm. If she was feeling nervous, that way Wendell's got two votes on him and Michael has two votes on him.
Yeah.
Right. And then whoever votes, then it's left up to somebody else, but she knows she's not going home unless for whatever reason, the remaining three vote her.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a interesting question in terms of where we go from here. How does Kellen explain this when she gets back to camp after this tribal council? Jeff said, you guys are going to have some interesting campfire stories after tonight. What does she say to everybody?
Oh, man, I don't know what she says. She just has to be like, I was certain Michael had the idol. I was so sure he had the idol. I was just protecting myself. You guys weren't helping me. I don't know. That's when I watch a vote go down like this, these are actually the things I get most excited about, is how the next day is going to go after somebody feels like they've been betrayed or, you know, thrown in front of the bus, so to speak.
Yeah. Cause so there's a couple Laurel, things here where one, it's like, hey, why didn't you tell us you had an extra vote? That's going to be number one. Number two, because yeah, and why did you put two votes on me?
Well, she doesn't need to be the one that claims that she has an extra vote. Maybe she can blame that on Michael.
That he put.
Why can't she?
And then who voted for Wendell?
Well, I didn't think it all through yet, but. Maybe she can. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that won't work now.
Yeah.
He voted for Wendell. She should have voted for Wendell. Just kept it clean. Drawn a line in the sand. This is where I'm at now. But yeah, you know, that's, she just has to smooth it over with Laurel mostly.
Yeah.
Because selling it to like, she's like, I protected Wendell and I protected Dom. And you guys saw that. I was just so scared that Michael had an idol and I thought it was going to be me because Michael's gone now. She could even say, I thought Michael told me he was voting me. Mm-hmm. That's why one of the things he said was he was going to vote me out and play his idol.
And she's all mad in the next episode. But I mean, who's she mad at? She's mad at Dominic and Wendell for whispering at the tribal council.
Maybe.
I mean, if Maybe. Anything, those guys would be like, we told you he didn't have an idol. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, I had to do that one time too, where on Blood versus Water, we were voting out Laura Moret. Mm-hmm. And Hayden and Caleb, this was post-merge, Hayden and Caleb wanted to split the vote on Monica. And I knew that if we put any votes on Monica, she would wig out. And I had the idol, but nobody knew how I had the idol. So when they were like, we should split the votes. And I was like, no, let's just, or it was actually earlier than that. Cause Laura Moret's the one that came to me and was like, we should split the votes. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Tina, I think it was when we voted Tina out. I was like, I'm pretty sure Tina doesn't have the idol.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does, she's thinking we're voting for Katie anyway. So let's just keep her thinking we're voting for Katie and we'll vote Tina out. And then we don't have to split the vote because at this point it's too dicey to split the vote. And they went along with it. But they were all assuming somebody had an idol and I knew that nobody did. So it's a tricky line being like, oh, let's not split the votes this time.
Yeah. And what? So you just ultimately got everybody to get on board?
Yeah, I got everybody to get on board.
How'd you do that? Just said, come on.
I just said, we're just taking a roll of the die. And I think that, putting the votes on Monica are just going to be more trouble for us in the future. And we followed Tina around the whole time to make sure she didn't find an idol pretty much.
Felipe Chamon wants to know, Tyson, how does it make you feel that you, Sierra, and Katie made drawing rocks cool again? For many, many years of Survivor, nobody ever picked a rock out from anything. Now we're picking out rocks almost every single
for
episode
everything,
of Survivor.
For everything.
Right. You made that happen.
It was all me.
Game changer.
Uh-huh. Right here. Why didn't they have me in that thing?
I don't know. I don't know. Are you a legend?
No, in the Game Changers.
Yeah.
Episode.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Did what did Russell say? Am I a legend or not?
You got thumbs down.
Oh, no. That's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So many rock draws. Is Survivor overdoing it with the rock draw?
Probably. Now they're not as hard hitting because they just happen all the time. You come to expect it when there's not a rock draw. Like everybody's just left hanging when Jeff's like, okay, I have nothing for you. And everybody's like, not even a rock draw.
Not even a rock draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Count Octopus wants to know, Tyson, what does Laurel's path of victory look like from here? Can you give us the fan fiction of what Laurel's win looks like?
Okay. She needs to get. She's got Donathan already.
Yes.
She needs to get Kellen, and then she needs to get Angela and Seabass to vote Wendell and Dom out. And then she needs to get to the end with, she's probably at that point, if she spearheads that move, she's probably good with pretty much any of those people
mm-hmm.
to go to the end. She just needs to flip on Wendell and Dom at the right moment and make everyone realize that that was her move.
Does she need to? Is there anything that she could do to sort of like poison the well against those guys?
And then win against them?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nothing? There's nothing she could do?
I mean, if they keep getting blatant at challenges and arrogant and stuff like that, then maybe. But I think going with the guys who appear to be running the show is tricky. Like somebody here says that go with Dom and Wendell to the end. I think she'll be perceived as a coattail rider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has to
break away from them. And I think she can, if she is the one to take credit and shows everyone that she's the one that broke away from them and organized the move against them, I think that's enough.
Tyson, this week coming up is going to be the loved ones visit. Steve Isaac on Twitter wants to know, is loved ones at 8 too early? It seems like we barely get to meet any of them. Also, I know it's talking a big game, but I always have thought that I would throw the loved ones challenge. Doesn't winning it put you in a horrible position picking who stays? Do you feel like the loved ones visit is too early at final 8?
I mean, we're going to spend all the time talking to Martin Sheen anyways.
Right.
So it's like they didn't need to fly out 7 other people, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Final 8, when do they usually do it? I've never made a family visit.
Right. Well, when did they do it in Token Jeans?
I was 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did it. Sierra was 7th.
Mm-hmm. Did she get a family visit?
Nope.
Yeah.
Six. At 6.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that we had a 20 person season. 8 people are getting their family visit and 2 people got family visit at Ponderosa. Half the cast made the family visit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I guess so.
My brother was in Token Chains, mm-hmm. but I didn't get to see him.
Oh, he made it that far?
Yeah.
And then was he upset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were both upset. It was over Thanksgiving.
Yes. Tyson, did you have a Ponderosa video?
Yeah.
What did you do in your Ponderosa video?
I made a slip and slide. Mm-hmm. I caught a little baby tiny turtle. I ate so much food that I couldn't even move.
Yeah.
I gave them a tour of my tent in the Token Jeans desert.
That sounds pretty good.
I did a bunch of stuff. Yeah. It's got like a ton of views on it.
Yeah.
How have you never seen that?
I've never seen it. Nobody ever brought it to my attention before.
Well, I'll have to share it to you.
Yeah. So,
and even the Token Chains videos that are not, or even the Ponderosa videos that are not my video, I feature fairly heavily in them.
Mm-hmm. So you made a big impression at Ponderosa.
A very big impression.
Okay. Thomas Diamante says, Tyson, you've talked about when the swaps occur, how those people become your new alliance. You can't rely on the connections from the other tribe. How would that logic apply to this scenario of the temporary unmerge?
The temporary unmerge? Man, I mean, those are your five right there. So you're trying to just be in the majority of that five. And then I think it is a little different because you know that they're re-merging right after this vote. So you have to also be aware of what the other five are doing, knowing that when you're going to come back together the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So although this on that same point, this season has been interesting that a lot of them have been struggling and trying to keep their former alliances intact, mm-hmm. even through some tribe shifts and changes. And I am complete opposite of that. I would say wherever you're at in that moment, that's your alliance that you need to strengthen as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and only go back to an old alliance if the new alliance isn't serving your purpose.
Yeah. Well, Dominic and Wendell with Laurel and Donathan, I feel like that's the one group in the entire game that did do that.
So far.
But, you know, nobody else, everybody else has been like sticking to their original tribe.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you see any way that Laurel and or that Dominic and Wendell don't go with Laurel and Donathan moving forward?
So it's Angela and Seabass and Chelsea. You got to get rid of Chelsea because she's and Kellen. You got to get rid of Chelsea because she is a physical threat.
Comp beast, they call her.
Comp beast.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did you notice how big the block she was? She's got to be like 4.5 feet tall. The block she was standing on for that last challenge was like 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the guys didn't even have a stepping stool for it.
Well, Tyler Ward says, hey, Tyson Apostle, last time you were on the recap, you brilliantly mentioned how during casting you should lie about details about your shoe size and your height, yep. to give you an advantage in the challenges.
This is one of those instances.
When would that strategy have helped players this season?
Right there, this exact challenge.
So what do? You say you're shorter than you are?
You say you're shorter than you are, and then you have, then you don't have to lift your arms up as high.
It's like, I'm 5'1".
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah.
And you say your feet are bigger than they are, because once in a while they do those. If they ask you anything, you always say, you say your height is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You say your weight is smaller, because they do percentages of your body weight lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And you say your shoe size is bigger, because they do percentage of shoe size for like stepping stuff.
Yeah. And they don't fact check any of this stuff yet, Tyson? You haven't blown the lid off this?
I think they do fact check some of it, but I think on Token Cheese they didn't. On Token Cheese they didn't measure my height,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't measure my shoe size. The only thing they measured was my weight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think you can still blow the lid off of this thing.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be taller than they are. So everybody's like, I'm 7'2". And I'm like, oh, you just screwed yourself.
Yeah. Eventually they'll have like some sort of like, you'll step into like this scanner and then they'll just be able to scan your body and they send that to production.
Yeah, that is true. So on this challenge, if I would have said I was 5 feet, I wouldn't have even had to lift my arms. I would have just like had to make sure my fingers were around the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Densford wants to know, Tyson, you were able to win Blood versus Water because you were able to convince Hayden and Sierra to stay loyal until the numbers favored you. How do you do that when the right move looks so obvious on TV?
That's the nature of the television program is dividing it in the lines so that it's clear for the viewer to see, but it's not clear for the person in the moment to see. There's so much going on. There's so much talk. There's so much to sift through. And so Hayden and Sierra, it was the same thing. It's just like, there's so much and everybody seems on board with it. And you're having multiple people confirm to them that that is indeed the case. It's work. That's the work that has to be put in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the work isn't making Jervis or Monica stick with me. There's a little bit of work there, but the work is getting myself, Jervis, and Monica to convince Hayden and Sierra that they're in a better position than us three.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm coming to Sierra and I'm like, I have a final three deal with you, and Jervis is saying, hey, Sierra, you and I have a final three deal, and Monica is saying, hey, we have a final three deal. She all of a sudden thinks she has a final three deal with three people. She can't go wrong.
Right. Do you do a lot of that? You're so great. Or do you do more? I can't win.
Against that person?
Yeah.
I always, because the perception of everyone of me on Blood versus Water that was in the game was that the jury hated me and that I wasn't going to win against a lot of people. So what I did was I told them that I thought that we had a fair shot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I think, Sierra, I think you and I have a fair shot, knowing that in her mind, she's thinking, I will for sure win out against you. People hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to her, who do you think we can beat so that the game is just between us two?
Yeah.
And then I let her choose whoever she wanted because it doesn't matter because we weren't going to get to the end together anyways.
Okay. A question from Seth Merica, who says, Tyson, who are some of the best bromances from Survivor and where do Wendenick rank? We talked about you and Jervis earlier in this podcast, but there is a thread currently on Reddit from a user, Cody3010, and he has posted, watch out, Fishback and JT, a new greatest Survivor bromance is brewing. Tyson, do you feel like that Wendell and Dominic have the potential to surpass Steven and JT even?
As the bromance of the season?
Yes.
Of Survivor of all time?
Yes.
Is it the best bromance of all time?
I really feel like this is an interesting question because with Wendell and Dominic, you have this situation where you have two of them who are both very likable guys, as opposed to Steven and JT, which was zero likable guys.
Okay. Bazing. Shots fired.
I was going to say one. You thought I was going to say one.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say one. Yeah, it is two likable guys, but I mean, they have to get to the end first.
Right.
JT and Steven got to the end.
Yes.
Me and Jervis got to the end.
But does it is that the barometer or is it the friendship?
Well, getting to the end adds longevity to the friendship.
Right. What if Wendell and Dominic go to the end and they don't trash each other in the final three?
Yeah, that would be good. What if they split votes
and
then they had to make fire for $1 million?
They intentionally or that we get to the finals and the votes are split between them and then it comes down to another fire making challenge.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be a fire making challenge. They would make the third place person vote.
Oh, yeah. OK,
yeah.
So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
That's the only bridge in the rules we haven't crossed that would blow people's minds.
Yeah. Is it friendship after the show? I mean, Steven and JT have maintained a friendship for such a long time. So close.
Yeah. I feel like unless they end up having to go against each other super hard, then it will be probably a lifetime friendship for Wendell and Dom.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they have to turn on each other or if one of them turns on the other one, unbeknownst to them, blindsides them, then maybe not so much. I think they'll still remain friends, but it won't be as close as a friendship. They won't be getting into the cattle business together.
Why? Who's getting in the cattle business? Steven and JT?
Well, Steven and JT were going to.
Oh, is that what they were going to do?
Right after they were going to do like online order beef or something.
Yeah. What Steven was going to do, the website, and JT was going to,
do nothing.
Slaughter the cows. So that was,
JT was going to do nothing and Steven was going to do all of it. And then, I don't know what the exact details.
Okay. John Tinkham says, since you famously, Tyson, said that you love seeing people cry, has Ghost Island been your favorite season ever?
Is there a lot of criers?
A lot of criers going on.
Not more than Blood versus Water.
Yeah.
That had the most crying per minute of TV in the series of Survivor.
Ever.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing people cry, for example, if Wendell and Dom had kept going at the challenge and argued and argued and argued about who is going to win, thinking that they were being cute with each other, which they were, but everyone else was slowly growing to resent them. And then one of them got voted out. Those are the type of tears where you knock somebody off of their high horse so hard that it brings them to tears because they felt that they were in a great position and also that they were deserving of it. Like if I had cried after Token Chains when I got voted out, that would have been a perfect moment to watch somebody cry.
Yeah, that would be
but
nice.
But I didn't.
Yeah. Did you?
But if I would have, that's the type of justice that I personally am seeking when I say something like that.
When should somebody cry? At Tribal Council or when they get back to Ponderosa?
Both.
Yeah.
Like if I was sitting thinking I was super comfortable and super arrogant, and then all of a sudden everybody turns on me and I get voted out, and then I start to cry, or in the end of the episode I'm crying because it was such an injustice that I got sent home, then that's the type of cry is when, because nobody deserves anything on the show of Survivor.
That's right. That's right. Or in life.
Or in life. That's true. Yes. And so when you're have that feeling of entitlement and things get ripped away from you,
it's not good.
Yeah, but if you like, how disappointed can you really truly be?
What, with losing on a game show?
Yeah.
You could be pretty disappointed. I mean, you can be disappointed once you've won, Tyson.
Yeah, but I didn't cry on Heroes versus Villains or Token Chains. It's disappointing for sure.
Right.
But like Michael crying at the end where he got teary eyed about his final words. That was an endearing moment that just made us love him more.
Yeah.
But if he had been like the Chris of the season and rapping and at that final tribal council had rapped about how dope he was, right, only to get blindsided, then his tears in that moment, I think everybody would have been like, oh, I'm enjoying watching him cry over this now.
Tyson, you mentioned Chris in his rap video. There's been a lot of interesting Ponderosa videos, including this week where Jenna and Michael made a cologne commercial. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
Yes. Well, it is a very fun video, sort of like in the style of a Calvin Klein video.
Is it black and white?
Black and white. It's Tyson.
Do they have their shirts off and only jeans with their bands of their underwear above their jeans?
I think so.
Cool.
So, Tyson, what would your Survivor cologne smell like and what would it be called?
It would be called biodegradable Brazilian shampoo.
It's a mouthful. That's
what it would smell like.
Yes.
Because they made us use the shampoo there.
Yeah, and it was
because
good.
Well, it was biodegradable because we were camping. So we were camping in a national park. So we had to use the shampoo. We couldn't bring our own stuff. And the smell of it is so nostalgic for me. Anytime I smell that similar smell, it just smells like herbal stuff. But like anytime I smell that smell, I'm like, oh, Token Chains. Like even still, if I smelled that smell, it would immediately take me back to
Is that a fond memory or is it like a traumatic memory?
No, it's a fond memory.
Yes.
I like the smell. I liked the smell of that shampoo just fine. And I think a fond memory.
Okay. But, and what would you call that cologne?
That's
a terrible name.
Eau de l'eau? What about Eau de Tyson? You have to say Tyson. Like a French person would. Yeah.
Okay.
Or Tiara. Somebody said it should be called Tiara.
Okay. That's good.
Or assistant coach.
Yeah. Tiara's not like a very masculine cologne.
Yeah, but my cologne's not going to be very masculine. It's going to be more flowery, fruity vibes than cedarwood and tobacco. What kind of smells is yours going to be?
Mine?
Cedarwood and tobacco?
I don't think so. I don't think I could pull that off. Who are we kidding here?
Okay, so more of like a fruity, like unisex smell.
More of like a coffee.
Okay. Coffee's nice. Yeah.
You know.
Just coffee.
I mean, what else? What else am I going to do?
I mean, you need some hints of something else, right?
I get what, like, what should it be?
Coffee and scrambled eggs, or eggs over hard, or however you have to have your eggs.
I don't eat as many eggs, Tyson. I am worried about cholesterol.
Oh, okay. I mean, you have to have something else to make it your signature thing. Coffee and a hint of grapefruit. Do you like grapefruit or watermelon? What's your favorite fruit?
How about a banana?
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. Coffee with a hint of banana.
I don't think that, like, men's cologne smells like anything.
It smells like cedarwood and tobacco.
It smells like tobacco. I don't think it smells like tobacco.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Some of them, that is the fragrance that is added to the smell specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Cedarwood, though, or sandalwood, or any type of wood, is a pine.
Mm-hmm.
Pine is one that they use a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not a masculine. I can't pull off a masculine cologne.
Ah, come on.
Maybe it's just me, but I don't feel like I can.
Yeah. Not anymore?
Never.
You never could. You never wear any cologne?
No, I wear cologne, but it's not masculine. It's unisex.
Unisex cologne. But do you and Rachel share a unisex body spray?
No, it's no. It's definitely fancier than that.
Yeah.
But I have always worn unisex fragrances.
That's so interesting.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or are we losing viewers by the second?
Let me check. Not maybe by the minute, but not by the second.
Okay. Yeah. So do you wear cologne?
I do. I do. But I like a bottle of cologne lasts me like 10 years.
And what kind do you wear? Is it a masculine one, a feminine one, a unisex one?
It's a masculine one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you buy it at? Like Nordstrom or online or what do you do?
My wife buys me a bottle every 10 years.
Of Brut.
I don't know.
Dracar Noir.
It's not Dracar Noir. I don't remember what the name of it is. That when we finish the podcast and we're still doing the Twitch stream, I'll go get it.
Okay. I need to know if it's unisex.
It's not unisex.
Oh, it's definitely masculine.
It's definitely a cologne for
you.
Men.
Wear it every day.
No, I wear it. I wear it if I'm like going someplace. I don't wear it.
I wear a unisex one.
Yes.
And I wear it in place of deodorant.
Oh, okay. Why?
So I spray it under my arms. Yeah, the aluminum a little bit, but just because I don't really sweat that much.
Not even in Arizona? So,
not so far.
Okay. But summer is coming.
Summer is coming.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Summer
is coming.
Summer is coming on.
We should write a TV show based on only that saying.
Summer is coming.
Yeah.
It'd be very exciting.
That'll be our hashtag. Are you writing that down as our hashtag?
Writing it down. That not all the listeners know that Tyson is now set up in Arizona.
Yeah, I'm here.
And it's going to be 100 degrees this weekend.
Yes. On Sunday, it will be 104
degrees. 104
degrees. Not 140, 104.
And you won't even switch to just a little bit of deodorant for...
I don't even own a deodorant.
You don't own one?
No.
Wow.
Deodorant, the definition of deodorant is kill the smell or anti-smell. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using a cologne in that place, that also does the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just not like Old Spice.
So you don't wear an antiperspirant?
I don't wear an antiperspirant.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's healthy to sweat.
Yeah. Not even like on the golf course? Are we doing anything athletic?
Nope.
Not once?
No. Why would I?
What about on your wedding day?
I don't think I had antiperspirant available to me at the time.
Have you ever worn it in your life?
Yeah, I used to wear it in high school because they teach you to wear it in junior high.
Yes, in health class.
Yeah.
But then once you went on the mission, then that was it?
I probably wore it off and on through college but it's probably been 10 or 15 years.
10 or 15 years. Was Michael Yerger alive the last time that you used a deodorant-oriented person?
It would be close.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
This is fascinating to me, Tyson.
Have you ever noticed me stink when I'm around you?
Not that I can recall.
There you go.
To be honest, I'll probably be like a little bit more thinking about
skeptical
it.
Or thinking about it. That's okay.
Next time I see you.
I'll be prepared to wow you.
This is a question from Amanda Rabinowitz. Michael did about as well as he possibly could have, given that it seems like no one was eager to closely align with him, probably because he was such a huge final tribal council threat. Is there such a thing as being too perfect to make allies on Survivor? And how did Tyson get around this issue?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing, being too perfect to maybe not too perfect to make allies, but too perfect to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's if you're socially threatening, that's a big thing. That's maybe the biggest thing.
What can you do? Can you sort of like walk around and tell people like, oh, I suck?
Yeah, maybe be a little bit antisocial. Hmm. It's a fine line. Like, you don't want to be the nicest. You don't want to be the kindest. You don't want to be the guy that everybody loves, because it's easy to vote that person out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they get to the end, everybody's going to vote for them because they are just too great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Michael probably had a little bit of that going for him. And so, yeah, I don't know, maybe be a little more confrontational in moments when he can. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there's stuff you can do, but also if it's not in your nature to do that, then like I'm naturally one of those guys where I'm not so lovely that everybody is assuming that I'm beloved by all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that for me, it's not even a thing that I have to worry about. But for someone like Michael, I can only imagine him needing to get into some verbal confrontations with people.
Could you train him to be less likable before he plays again?
Yeah. I mean, I think you just like air out people's dirty laundry in tribal council, mm-hmm. raise his voice a little bit in those moments. I mean, his voice is just so gentle. Mm-hmm. It's like he has a nice, gentle
kind voice. Yeah.
A kind voice, a really kind voice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things that you can't. It's hard to learn and it's hard to teach as well.
Could he get some ink?
Some bad ink?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like definitely if he waits till he's 40 and is super cynical and stuff, then I think naturally the world will have trained him for the game. Maybe that's where he was too young, is he's just a bright eyed, bushy tailed.
Yes.
Young go-getter who thinks all strangers are kind.
Yeah, so Michael Yerger's like an 18-year-old Danny Bryson.
Yeah, exactly. Danny at 18 was the exact same.
Jessica Frey wants to know, how would Tyson have handled Kellen's ever-growing sense of paranoia? Seems like the guys didn't do a great job with talking her off the ledge.
Yeah,
you're crazy. Stop.
When somebody's paranoia is heightened, you either need to console them if you're planning to keep them with you, mm-hmm. and make sure they're okay, or get rid of them immediately. Mm. Like when she started going kind of crazy, and they were like,
serious time, you know, trying to make Monica feel better about things at times, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to. Yeah. That's part of it, is like they have to feel comfortable or they're going to make a wild move.
Dominic and Wendell did. They sort of like,
When they did that, I thought they were voting her out. Yeah. I was like, she's gone.
Yeah.
You can't be that paranoid and then just blow you off like that. They're just like, it's not worth the work. Let's just get rid of her. Mm-hmm. That's honestly what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you know, there's a little bit of a he said, she said in terms of that tribal council when they get back to camp, because there is the, you know, the technical awards tribal council, where when they come back, Kellen might come back with one view of the tribal council, like, oh my God, you guys, you wouldn't believe Dominic and Wendell, they were talking right in front of me. And it was so that they wouldn't tell me who to vote for. They wouldn't tell me what they were doing. And then if everybody else is sort of like, no, not really. She's really exaggerating that. I mean, he said one thing because it's an odd situation that we have a tribal council that half the people in the game didn't see.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Kellen's like, no, guys, we have to get rid of Dominic and Wendell. And everybody's like, no, Kellen, she lost it, guys. We got to get rid of Kellen.
Yeah, that's what that is. It is. I think this is where, I mean, depending on how delicate Kellen is, she's definitely going to have to fight to get people on her side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially if it's known that she had the two votes and that she pointed both of them at Laurel.
Okay. A couple other quick questions. Michael Rodriguez wants to know, could we potentially see a Rock draw at the next episode? Dominic, Wendell, Laurel, and Donathan versus Kellen and all of the Navidi bottom feeders. We have 4-4 next week.
I mean, anything's possible, right? Mm. But I doubt it. I think 8's a big number to organize a Rock draw.
Yeah, just depends on when Kellen is going to wake up and see what's going on, because I think that the thing in her mind why she's been so defensive these last couple of votes is that she just wants to get to the point where, all right, now once the Malolos are gone, then Dominic and Wenda will be gone, and then I'll be in the final four with myself and Seabass and Chelsea and Angela.
Well, and Kellen's Kellen, from their perception, is on the other side anyways. Mm-hmm. So when she comes to them and wants to work with them, who's to say they don't go to the her alliance and say, hey, Kellen wants you guys out. Let's vote her out. Mm-hmm. It all backfire.
Yeah, it could backfire. Okay. Twitch, this is the last call for questions for the podcast. Let me see. Jared wants to know, in poker terms, who's playing the game too tight and who's too aggro? Who's the shark and who's the fish?
Laurel's playing the game too tight, only in the sense that she's not going to get credit for the way she's playing.
She's like me at the poker table.
Yeah. She's only playing aces and she's waiting
hanging
for
in
him
there,
to,
hanging in there.
She's
but
waiting for
out.
Him to pop.
Going to make it to day three of the tournament, though.
Yeah, every 220 hands you wake up with aces.
Like,
so I'm just waiting for that.
Again?
Yeah, I don't have money. I don't have the chips for this. Okay. Who's the shark and who's the fish? That's always hard on these newer seasons, but I would assume that Dom and Wendell are the sharks. Mm-hmm. And the fish is pretty much everybody else that's just going along with them.
Tyson, Rift2G is dying to know, what are your thoughts on the fire making challenge? Have you talked about this anywhere?
Only with you, if ever.
Mm-hmm.
I am very confident in my skills as a fire maker. I would even venture so far to say that out of everyone who's played Survivor, I would have a chance at getting my fire up the quickest.
Wow. Out of anybody.
Correct.
Flex 500 people. You're number one.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably in the top 400.
That's still very good. And so I like it. I think it benefits someone who can make fire, who's taken the time to learn how to make fire and perfect their technique.
Yeah.
I forget exactly how it goes. How does this fire making challenge? We are always going to see a fire making challenge.
Well, for the time being.
Oh, somebody's going to win immunity. They get to choose who they go to the end with, one person, and the remaining two have to make fire.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all happening.
Yeah, I think I could. For me, I like it just because it would benefit me. Mm-hmm. But if you don't make fire, it does. It adds a level where you're more likely to get two competitive people in the finale than one and two goats. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're thinking as well? Is that I'm assuming that's why they did it, so that the strong player at the end who has the two or three goats with them isn't going to just win 8-0 or 10-0 or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a little harder to engineer who you want to have from your group in the end. So I think they liked sort of like the unpredictability of that. But I think it's having some unintended consequences where now I think you could just sort of like make a final four. And I think that it like, imagine like you were able to, you know, for Wendell and Dominic, they know they're in the final two. Now they can tell Laurel and Donathan, hey, we just got to get to final four, and then we make fire, and then we see what happens. Somebody's going to win the challenge, or somebody's going to make a fire.
That is true.
And so it's almost easier on your alliance. Just like the same thing from the final two to the final three, you don't have to pick a best friend anymore. It's like, hey, we're the three best friends there ever were. We're going to the final three, us three.
That is true. I didn't think of it that way, but it is true. It's easier because now you're not selling two people on being in the final three with you. You're just saying, hey, look, we're
just going to get the four. Somebody's
final four.
Win.
We got to get to four.
And then somebody's got to, and maybe yeah, like
we all have a shot at winning the final challenge. Whoever wins that gets to choose their guy. Mm-hmm. And then the other two make fire. And there you go. Yeah.
Count Octopus wants to know, Tyson, who from this season does Tyson want to babysit his kid?
Oh man. Well, Dom has kids. Mm-hmm. So he's already seemed to have kept him healthy and happy so far. So man, I don't know. I have to put him through more of a rigorous trust test than what I'm getting to see on Survivor.
Yeah. Would you let any Survivor babysit Bergen?
Yeah, I think I've left Bergen with Aris and Christy before. Mm-hmm. Aris is a Survivor. Christy is his wife.
I've heard of them.
And
do they do any freestyle rapping?
I don't know. Bergen didn't do any freestyle rapping afterwards, mm-hmm. So I'm assuming no. I would let you and Nicole watch Bergen. Yeah.
Well, Nicole would be good.
Yeah, I would watch it. I would let any of my Survivor friends watch Bergen if I needed to. Yeah,
why not?
But none of these people on this season are my friend yet, so I don't. It's hard. Right. Jacob, somebody's put Jacob, and I kind of thought that too. He's a big, lovable guy. He might be good.
Might be good. Tyson, I showed my kids the gross food eating challenge from a couple weeks ago. I showed it to Dominic, but then I showed it to Anthony this morning.
Okay.
I just thought he would think it was funny.
Did he?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm showing a 2.5-year-old baby people eating gross stuff.
Yeah, a woman trying to choke down a sea cucumber the size of my forearm. Though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he was.
Want to see people eat bugs. Yeah. I said, would you do that? He said, no.
Did Anthony laugh or did... Dominique laugh?
Yeah, he watched it the first time around. He was very interested in it from when I first told him it was going to happen. And then he's like, Dad, can we watch that gross food challenge? Yes, we can. But then this morning he's like, are we watching this again, Dad? Like,
But he laughed the first time or he didn't laugh?
He liked it, but again, it didn't really play what those last things were. And nobody got that.
Yeah.
Come across.
Yeah, the last one I was like, what is even is that? Mother of Pearl, that sounds like a fancy jewelry.
Yeah, it sounds like something that you would get on goop.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
All right, Tyson, I don't know. Have we talked about this on the Survivor podcast that baby number two is on the way?
We've probably talked about it on...
Certainly on News AF.
Certainly on News AF, yeah, baby number two in 2 months.
2 months, okay.
2 months from what is today? The third, 2 months from the fifth.
Okay. All right. So coming July 5th.
Correct.
Maybe it could be 4th of July, baby.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you never know.
Well, we've got it scheduled on July 5th already.
Babies don't adhere to a schedule, Tyson. I know that Bergen is an angel and she's working on your schedule, but that's not always how it goes.
That's true. Okay. Well, we'll find out who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a baby girl.
Yeah. It is very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Is Bergen excited?
I think so. I think at 2.5 years old, she maybe fully doesn't grasp what's about to happen here. But she seems like she's excited to be a big sister. Yeah.
And how's Rachel doing?
She's doing good.
Yes.
I mean, I think I think any subsequent pregnancy you have after the first one is more difficult.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Did Nicole experience that? Anthony was.
It would be easier, but why? Because your body has been.
Well, I think you know what to expense more, but I think, yeah, your body's already been through it. And so going through it again is just extra.
Oh, wow. So is Rachel holding up okay? Even in with the heat coming?
Yeah. You just stay inside more.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I would like that.
Yeah, the more you're an endorsement.
Like that part. Yeah, okay. All right. And then are you looking for baby names from the listeners?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yes.
Susie says, how about Donathan? But that.
Jonathan's too confusing because you have to explain to him that you're not Jonathan and that you're not Donald.
Yes. Or Dominic.
Yeah, or Dominic. It's hard.
Yeah. Cappy in the chat says that Indoorsman should be the name of my cologne.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I like that.
Not bad.
Seasoned Indoorsman.
Yeah. Okay. Tyson, we have a lot of options here for the hashtag.
Okay. Do you wrote all of them down?
I wrote a bunch down, but I sometimes write them down on different pieces of paper, and then I sort of get them confused with other podcasts that I've wrote things down for.
Okay.
Harvey League is a suggestion here from the chat.
Yeah, Harvey League's good.
Summer is coming. Okay. Eau de Tyson.
Okay.
There's another one.
I like summer is coming so far.
Summer is coming. Okay. Because it's heating up. Oh, tramp stamp. Tramp stamp. That's what people are begging
tramp stamp,
for.
Tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. Tramp stamp.
Yeah. The two tramp Sandy, stamps because it's Sandy's the tramp stamp. Tramp stamp. Yeah. Is a tramp stamp. We can do that. We can do whatever. Tramp stamp. Tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. Tramp stamp.
You like that better than summer is coming?
I still just don't believe that story is true, though.
Dude, did you Google it? Did you Google it?
What would I Google? Sandy Token Sheen's
Bergen's
tattoo?
Sandy Bergen, Sandra Bergen, Sandy Bergen's.
Is that why you named your daughter after her?
Yeah, and my mom's name is Sandy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Sandy Bergen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Let's see.
I already know it's probably true.
It's probably true. Should we get her on the podcast to have a reveal?
You should actually, just for only
like
that.
The Al Capone vault.
Yeah.
And we'll get her to show us whether or not she actually has the tattoo in that area. It'll be like all covered up. And then we'll pull down the...
There's got to be a screen grab of it somewhere from Token Sheen's. Maybe she got it after... No, she got it for the season.
And it literally says the words tramp stamp in like old English font.
Not in old English font. What I think font she wasn't have? Classy enough to do old English.
Like cursive?
Superman font, mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe it's cursive.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Would Steven, if I text Steven about this, what will he say?
He'll say yes.
He'll say yes. I'm going to,
I think
I'm
so.
I'm going to text him right now.
Okay.
And ask him, does Sandy Bergen have a tattoo, have a tramp stamp that says.
And now we should end the podcast here, but keep it running on Twitch. So you can find out at the end of the Twitch stream.
I can't, that I'm having a hard time typing. Does Sandy Bergen have a tattoo? That is a tramp stamp that says tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Okay. That says.
I can't believe we've never talked about this before.
I feel like you are, you're Tysoning me.
What does that even mean? Lying is not a prank. We've already gone over this before, Rob.
That's true. Okay. All right. Tyson, great job here on the podcast. Very fun getting to chat with you and see you and stream with you here.
Likewise, Rob.
I'm talking about your bathroom.
Always a pleasure.
Break.
Yep, exactly.
Tyson and I will be back on the News AF podcast coming up probably Tuesday.
Maybe. No. Who's to
We're
say?
Waiting for Danny Bryson to let us know. When that's going to be, talking about all of the most interesting news stories of the week, every week here in the Rob's Podcast feed. Tyson, what else? Anything? Follow Tyson on social media. He's at Tyson.
Yeah,
Apostle.
I'm there. Yep. Follow me on social media or don't. Either way.
Whatever you want. We're not going to force you to do anything.
Yeah. Tune into News AF. That's one of the most fun podcasts available in the RHAP community.
Yes.
Because it's always fire and it's unlimited content of the most ridiculous news stories of the week.
There's a limit. You can listen as many times as you want, but We're only going
to
do one on one.
Well,
week.
I mean, there's a limit to what you're going to listen to, but we're getting new content weekly. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're talking about old stuff.
Right. We don't do like best of.
Yeah. We don't do best of. We don't talk about something that happened 10 years ago. We're talking about the here and now.
Here and now. All right. Well, great stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. We've got our feedback show coming up on the weekend where I'm going to be talking with Rourke Luskin. She'll be here in the studio with me to answer all of your feedback questions. So make sure you get those in either robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And of course, if you ever want to know even more about the world of Rob as a podcast, go even deeper. Check out our Patreon page. Go to robiswebsite.com/patron for even more Rob as a podcast. All right, we're going to turn off the podcast here, but hang out for a little bit on the Twitch stream. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.